First lesson for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on a sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I come to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory from before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I am not teaching or preaching on that last phrase of the gospel lesson, but I do want to say something about it because I don't want anybody to be confused or disheartened. The last phrase in the gospel, the last sentence was, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Where does our righteousness come from? Jesus. All right, so we're good to go as long as you know Jesus. You have the righteousness of Jesus applied to you. When God looks at you, as you continue to live your life in repentance, God looks at you and sees Jesus. That's good news. Aren't you wishing all sermons were that short? But that's not the sermon. All right. So, over the last couple of weeks, since the inauguration of President Trump, there have been several times when I just couldn't take it anymore and I turned off the news. Hate, distortion, agitation, lies, abuse of conduct, protests, cruelty, veritable vitriol. And not only do you hear it on the radio and on the TV, but social media, such as Facebook, is filled with posts that spew scorn on those who don't agree with them. And then, on Facebook, I found the answer to this problem. Are you ready? It's this. Enough with the political posts. Can we all just get back to hating Tom Brady? Maybe that'll work. But I have to admit, I'm probably the only Buffalo Bills fan who actually roots for Tom Brady, unless he's playing the Bills. Isn't that strange? That's just anathema. But I do so only because he was the quarterback at Michigan when I was a pastor in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where Michigan is located. Anyway, there is another answer beyond this, and it comes from Jesus. Gee, why am I not surprised that Jesus has the answer? And it's been there all along. Here's what he said. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Yes, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. At least that's the idea. I look at around at our land and I see confusion. I see the rejection of God's truths. I see self-centeredness like never before. I see hedonism. I see sexual perversion and confusion. I see a rise in hatred. I see division. And for all the talk of tolerance, I see a deplorable amount of intolerance. And perhaps most disturbing of all, it seems, no, I don't. It's not seeming at all anymore. Most disturbing of all, I see the rejection and the revulsion of God and His truths. Each day when I turn on some source of news media, I learn of some new protest. Far too often, we hear that another police officer has been gunned down. When one looks at how things are today in our society, as compared with, say, how our society was 20 or 30 years ago, we quickly ask, how did it get this way? I give you two answers. One, it got this way the same way you move a piano from one side of the sanctuary to the other side in a congregation that is very set in its ways. 1 inch per week. Yes, this has been one of Satan's main strategies in his efforts to influence the people of this land to reject God, His truths, His morals, and most of all, His Savior. Little by little, changes are made. Once a critical mass of people become acclimated to this small change, another small change is introduced. At first, people might rebuff this new change, but with a little more thought, they begin to think, well, it's not a big deal, and they go along with it. And then another change, and then another change, and another change. Oh, and along the way, every so often, Satan puts into the minds of some an outlandish change. One that he knows will get rejected. He wants to get there eventually, but he knows initially it'll be rejected. But he does this because he knows that while the populace will reject this large and obnoxious change, they then will compromise on a smaller change, not nearly as bad as this one. And so then change is again accomplished and society continues its drift toward His preferred future of our land, for our land, a godless, immoral, and hate-filled place. Is it not ironic that those who push the hardest on, say, the topic of inclusion and kindness are the very ones who seem to be spewing the greatest vitriol toward anyone who disagrees with them? It's crazy. And know this. With the passage of time, the small societal changes that I referred to a moment ago still happen, but these so-called changes aren't as small as they used to be. It's like a snowball. Each revolution of the snowball down the hillside, the ball adds more snow than the previous revolution. It's still just one revolution, but the quantity increases because the circumference increases with each revolution. So too it is with the pressures to change our society. Now, some would say that the ship has been righted with the election of a new president, thinking he will make things right. Be careful with that, my friends. Be careful with that. The government, as an instrument of God, can be used for the good of the people and society, or when it rebels against God, for its ill. And while we pray for every government, whether they be Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian, to carry out God's will, we cannot, I repeat, we cannot look to the government alone to cure society's ills. No, we cannot. And that brings me to the second thing that has led to our society being where it is today. The second thing has to do with the church. The church has failed in so many times and in so many places to be salt and light. The salt and light of which Jesus speaks. At the time of Christ, salt, I'm sure, was used to flavor food like we use it. But more importantly, it was used as a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration, and so they would salt the meat to make it last longer, so it keeps longer. But notice what Jesus says. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And I ask you, do we not see the church often being thrown out and trampled underfoot in terms of how frequently God's truths and moral expectations are denigrated and flippantly ignored? Now, we need to stop at this juncture and ask a defining question. Who or what is the church? The church isn't this building or any of the church buildings in Leon County or throughout the country. The church is you and me together, along with our brothers and sisters at Deer Lake Methodist, along with other Bible-believing churches throughout the city and throughout the land. We are the church. And we need to ask this question about who the church consists of, because we need to see that we collectively have been part of the problem. Our society has arrived at its current state in part because the Church of Jesus Christ has often failed to be the salt and light Jesus calls us to be. One of the reasons same-sex marriage exists is because the church has failed to be salt and light. One of the reasons sexual cohabitation before marriage has become the norm is because the church has often failed to be salt and light. One of the reasons high school students in the state of California can now choose which bathroom or locker room they choose to use on any given day based upon whether they feel like a boy or a girl is because the church has failed often to be salt and light. Now, a bit ago, I said that the church is comprised of all the individuals who hold faith in Jesus Christ. But please understand, I'm not saying that you personally are responsible for all of our societal ills. Because I realize up to this point you could be feeling pretty put upon. No, you personally aren't responsible for all of society's ills. But I am saying that collectively, we do share some of the blame. And I will say that those churches that have thrown the Bible out the window have a great deal of guilt in this matter. And one might argue that the dam has already burst and it's too late. And I, for one, will admit that often seems to be the case. But the call of Jesus is for us to be salt and light. It is not the call of Jesus for us to judge whether it's too late or not. We're called to be salt and light. and light, regardless of how it looks out there. And please know as well that the work of being salt and light is not just about God-pleasing influence on our society and culture, but it also has to do with being salt and light to those who do not yet know Jesus, so that they can see our light and our witness and see that Jesus is indeed their Savior. So, how is it then that we are salt and light, and how do we make sure that our salt is effective and our light is shining brightly, and how do we make sure that our salt doesn't lose its saltiness and that our light doesn't go out? How to be salt and light. Let's say you work at a place and you've worked there for a good long time, and everybody gets along and everything, and then there's a new employee that's come, and this new employee has failed to see how the rest of the staff works together. And this new employee, every third sentence is throwing in Jesus Christ, as if he's a filler or a phrase to use when you're frustrated. Or every eight sentences is saying, God damn it. Let's say that person's name is Tom Young. You go to Tom Young and you say, Tom, can I ask you a question? How would you like it if all of us at the company here, every third sentence when we were frustrated about something, we said, oh, Tom Young. Or if we were angry, we said, Tom Young, damn it. How would you like it if every 11 sentences you heard your name being used, but they weren't talking to you? You'd get upset about it. You'd be frustrated, wouldn't you? Look, Tom, I don't know what you may or may not know about the Bible, but in the Bible, God says His name is holy. And that we're not supposed to use His name like that. So, could I ask you to please consider not using His name like that around here? Does that take guts? I suppose. But it's being salt and light. You see, Christians have done this for decades now about societal things. Not all together, but so often, here's what we've done. We've lost our tongue. And you know, we don't have to say these things in an angry way to people. A fellow once taught me a long time ago, he says, you catch more bees with honey than vinegar. You try to be winsome, loving about it, not necessarily in their face. You know, sometimes there's a time and a place for in your face. We see that in Jesus. Or let's say you're a grandparent or a parent, and your nearly grown child or grandchild has started living with somebody of the opposite sex. I mean, if they're going to live with somebody in that kind of way, we're hoping it would be opposite sex, but, you know, okay. But you know it's not right, and you know it's not what God would want them to do. Could you not be salt and light to your grandchild and say, Joey, you're better than this. God doesn't want this for you. Sex is great, but God wants you to wait till you're married because it's His wedding gift to you. Put it back in the box. And you know, besides, most people who live together, some of them eventually get married. But some, you know, it lasts for 6 months, it lasts for a year, it lasts for a year and a half, and then it ends bitterly so often, and those two people can't stand or even see each other anymore. And what? You've given yourself to that person. Is that what you want? Don't go there. Get out of it. You can still be in the relationship, but not in that way. Because God wants something better for you. Salt and light. Well, let's say your grandchild or your nephew is you know, a late teen, early 20s, maybe 30s, and they don't seem to be doing anything Christian at all. And so you don't know whether they know Jesus or not. Could you not go to them, take them out for coffee, and say, Sally, I want to share Jesus with you. Oh, Grandma. Oh, Aunt. Silly. Aunt Tilly. No, I'm okay. No, please, just listen. And tell them who Jesus is to you. What He has done for you. And what He wants to do for them. Be salt and light. Be salt and light. And don't forget to share with people, if you get into these kinds of conversations, remind them that even though there's sin in their lives, there is forgiveness and a fresh start. Amen? So, how do you keep the salt salty and the light shining brightly? It's one thing to say we ought to be it and you ought to do it. How do you keep it all fresh? It's not difficult, and you're doing some of it right now. You get your faith nurtured. You get your faith nourished. And that's what happens every time you come to communion. God is there to nurture and nourish your faith. Every time you open God's Word and have a heart open to what you read there, the Holy Spirit will nurture and nourish your faith. Every time you listen to a sermon that's based on the Word of God, and I sure hope mine are, you're getting your faith nurtured and nourished. You pray to God, you pour out your heart to Him, and you invite His will to be done in your life. Your faith is being nurtured and nourished. But you stop those things, and I'll guarantee you, your light's going to start going dim. And then you ask, well, still, how can I do this? This seems overwhelming, this being salt and light business. Hear this. Scripture says to you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anything God wants you to be, do, or say, you can do, be, or say because of Jesus, who has placed His Holy Spirit within you so that you can. And if you had not been here today, you wouldn't have heard that word of encouragement. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's be salt and light. People and this world in which we live sure need it. In fact, let's pray about that right now. Amen? Amen.